For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown! Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Welcome to St. Thomas Sports Park, another edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. Coming up this Sunday, the Titans will play host to the Los Angeles Rams. Never had a chance to say that before, since I was a kid at least. The Los Angeles Rams are in town, and that game will be right here on your Titans radio station. We'll be on the air at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern time with Titans Countdown. Rhett Bryan will have a preview of this matchup. The Rams are now 10-4 on the season, one of the great turnaround stories in the NFL, largely because their offense has just exploded. This season, the Rams averaging 100-plus more yards per game than they did a year ago. And a lot of it is because of Todd Gurley, who has rushed for 1,187 yards and 13 touchdowns, and has caught 54 passes for 630 yards and four more touchdowns. The other turnaround, Jared Goff, in his second year out of Cal, he's completing 62% of his passes for over 3,500 yards. Last year, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. This year, 24 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. The Rams knocked off Indianapolis to begin the season after losing to Washington. They picked up a couple of road wins at San Francisco and Dallas. They fell to Seattle, and that left them at 3-2. And then they reeled off 4 straight wins at Jacksonville, a shutout victory over Arizona, at the Giants, and then a win over Houston. After losing at Minnesota, they came back to beat New Orleans and won at Arizona. They fell in a shootout at Philadelphia before last weekend winning at Seattle 42-7. And I think when most of us saw this score, and the first score I actually saw was 20-0, and then the second score I saw was 40-0, I thought I was reading it wrong. Nobody goes into Seattle and wins in this way. But the Los Angeles Rams did that. Again, they won 42-7 last week. They play at Tennessee on Christmas Eve, and then they are home for San Francisco to conclude. They are on the verge of their first NFC West championship in 14 years since 2003. The Los Angeles Rams certainly off to a good start. The Tennessee Titans looking to get back on track and pick up a victory. Titans fell on the road twice out west at Arizona and at San Francisco. And yet the Titans at 8-6, still in a position to make the playoffs. They have several different paths to get there. The easiest one would be to win 2 games, to win against the Rams and win against Jacksonville, and their chances of making the playoffs at that point would be over 97%. Several things would have to happen very strangely for them to not make it with 2 wins, but there is a very scant possibility of that still. A couple of victories and the Titans most likely in. They could get in with 1 more win if it's the right victory, probably the Jacksonville game. Theoretically, they could get in at 8-8, but that doesn't look quite as likely for sure. So we'll see what happens, but the Titans excited about this and also excited about what's to come 1 hour from now. The Pro Bowl will be announced. How many Pro Bowlers will the Titans have? How many guys will they have voted in? Certainly, you would figure that there are a couple of guys right at the top of the list. The Titans had several Pro Bowlers a year ago. And once you get on that radar, you have a chance to not only get there, but to stay there. And some of those Titans looking to extend streaks of being Pro Bowlers. Titans on the year, 8-6, as we mentioned, their statistics have improved dramatically in the red zone overall. And that's one area that they have definitely tried to see improvement in the last few weeks. Titans moving into the top 10 in both red zone offense and defense. They're scoring more touchdowns when they get inside the 10, and they've been holding opponents to more field goals. Something that will be tough to do this weekend because the Los Angeles Rams averaging 31 points a game, one of the better offenses in the NFL. Mike Bularkey, your defense is going to be busy when you take on the Rams this weekend, no doubt.
Very good challenge for our defense. They know that. All kind of goes around Gurley in the back back end. The guy is running with authority, tough to bring down. He's fast, physical, and catches the ball out of the backfield. I mean, does it all, and he has really been a dominant force for this offense this year.
He almost has a Roger Craig flair catching the ball.
Yeah, he does.
Averaging almost 12 yards a reception, which is really unheard of for a back.
That's a great comparison because I was drafted out there in 49ers with Roger Craig, so I got to spend a whopping mini camp and a training camp with him. But that's a good comparison. You're talking a big back, really big back, but really, really skilled.
There were a few prettier runners than Roger Craig, and this guy is fun to watch run the football too.
Well,
maybe not this week.
Yeah, not this week.
You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, no, he's. He's a fun player. I mean, and they're doing a great job of how they're getting the ball to him, and they're not real complicated. There ain't a whole lot of different runs in the scheme. They're pretty, I don't want to say simple, but, it's just a matter of stopping them.
We were talking about different playoff scenarios. Just wonder right off the top, do you talk playoff scenarios with the team?
I do not. There's really nothing in our control outside this building and what we do on Sunday. And there's enough chatter out there that these guys know what we have to do. They know what's going on. They know for me to sit there and spend that much time that's wasted energy that need to be going for our football team this week solely against the Rams. And that's the way it is.
877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. That's the phone number to get online with head coach Mike Mularkey. Twitter questions at TitansRadio.com, at TitansRadio.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Pro Bowl announcements set to come in an hour, and that's something that is meaningful around the league because not only do the fans vote, but the players themselves vote. You can't vote for guys on your own team. So you know if you get voted in, you truly have the respect of your peers.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. It's important to them. And we have a number of guys that I believe are definitely worthy of being in Pro Bowl. And I'm hoping that obviously our fans have recognized that, but also fans around the league and players around the league as they watch us on tape give our guys credit that they're due.
I've always wondered why it's announced at this point in the season. Have you ever heard a good recounting of why it's announced in Week 16?
I have no idea why they do that. I mean, it's consistent.
But it always is, yeah.
That's the one thing that is consistent is I don't know the reasoning behind it. I really don't.
Overall for the Titans, as you bounce back and you take a look at this tape and you had some chances to absorb it, things that jumped out to you about the San Francisco game after the fact that maybe you didn't know while you were watching the game?
Well, I knew there were some plays in that game that obviously were game-changing plays, plays that cost us points or gave them points. And when you come down to a game as tight as that game was, down to the last kick, Those are the types of plays you just can't afford to have, and we had a number of them, and really it wasn't like a matter of a bunch of plays. It was really a number of just one-time plays, and that's all it is in the NFL. That's why this game is so critical. You can't make a lot of mistakes, because anybody in this league is going to capitalize off of them.
Twitter question. This is from Mike. He wants to know, is there a rule to how many replays they have to show at the stadium? San Francisco only played one replay of the Walden interception. So is there anything specific they have to do?
No, they don't have to show anything. They really don't. It's an advantage, for the home team. Obviously, if you think it's worth challenging, especially if you're at home, you want to see every angle, and our guys do a great job here. But there's really nothing you can do on the road. If they're not showing it, they're probably seeing something that we all saw as well. So there wasn't a lot. All we saw, we got the replays of the TV up in the box.
What did you see on the Walden play?
I saw him make the interception, come down on his back with the ball in his hands, his gloves wrapped around the ball. I saw the receiver trying to get it back, his gloves outside, and then I saw their fullback 44 in there digging away trying to get the ball. And now if their guy had it, I don't know why their fullback was so intent of trying to get a ball away from his own player. But you could tell that Walden had the ball. And, I just thought it was a quick decision by the official at the scene. It is what it is. It's just disappointing it didn't go that way, but I thought it was a really quick decision for them to give them the ball.
Yeah, it almost looked as if Goodwin was trying to tie Walden up, as if Walden had the ball first, which would make it an interception. Was it a case that they just said they didn't have a better look at it, and because that had been, well, that was
that's
what,
pretty much it.
Okay,
yeah, that's pretty much it. I wish there was a better answer than that, but that was it.
Okay, another Twitter question: does Marcus Mariota have the ability to audible on any given play?
Not on any given play. He's got a number of options during the game. He definitely does that, and they're from run to run, from run to pass, from pass to run. We don't do a lot. We do probably the average of what the league does, but yeah, he does have that option.
All right, here's another one, and this is from Jonathan. Will we see more up-tempo offense regardless of what defense we're playing?
That has a lot to do with the up-tempo offense, is who you're playing, personnel on that defense. There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, we spend a lot of time here trying to figure out the best way to attack opponents, and there's a lot of experience in that room. Will you see it again? Possibly.
I've heard you explain this before, but let me ask you to do it again. The downside to up-tempo offense, other than if it doesn't work, but what is the overall downside to not doing it more?
Well, if you're not efficient, the one thing is they can take the run away if they'd like to really where you're sitting back where they can tee off and make you throw it all the time. If they really want to, there's ways without getting into it where they can make you throw the ball every snap, and their defensive line knows that, and they're teeing off on your offensive line play after play after play. And, there are negatives to it. And so it all gets taken into account when we're talking about how to attack our opponents.
877-848-2671. That's the number for you to call in. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. We've got more on the Mike Mularkey Show coming up. We head to the phones as the second segment of the Mike Mularkey Show begins at 877-848-2671. Rory in Nashville, thanks for calling and welcome to Titans Radio.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. I'm watching the games, and I feel for you, Coach, because it seems like we continue to make mistakes, but the mistakes we make are not the same ones over again. We kind of, one thing goes away, and then we kind of take turns. And so, I think it's real hard to pinpoint, exactly what's going on, other than we had no, got it all together at the one time. It seems like we have spurts of it, but it's rough. And so when I'm watching the game, one thing that I've noticed is that when we do have the reviews and we've lost them, but I just don't like the idea of the officials. And I know you probably didn't comment on this, but it seems like they call it a certain way, and then you're relying on an angle to change it, and they kind of just let it play out, a la the game against the Dolphins, or this one here where we thought it was an interception and it looked like one and live from the angles that we saw. And so, I just kind of like if I went to my work and I told my boss he was wrong, and then, or challenge him again and say, are you sure you're not wrong? And it seems like the officials are, if we can't win, it's to get a break sometimes. So it's more of a call to say, hopefully we'll be able to put it all together in the last two games. So we got to do it anyway because it's time for us to win because the playoffs are starting. So I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Rory, for the call. You're right. We got to put 60 minutes together as a team, and we've been talking about that. And it's time to do that, especially where we're at right now, where we're sitting, what's right in front of us. But that has been addressed. We got to do that and really eliminate some self-inflicting wounds that are costing us opportunities to win. I mean, we're talking about points. Some of the things that are taking place. And our guys know that. I mean, this group is really a special group, and they come out every day to get better. But we just got to clean it up, and going into this last game, we got to play 60 minutes. On the officials' end of it, it's just that the lack of consistency is, the I think, the biggest frustration amongst all of the coaches and in the league. It's just not the same. I ask him question. I could get. it's very frustrating. Even the fourth down call that we had to go for it, and Marcus ran a quarterback sneak. That was a critical play. I mean, that was really big. But I'm standing there, and I see the spot on both sides from the officials, and it's in front of the chains. Now, I don't know what the line says on TV.
You're talking about where Decker caught the ball.
Right.
He takes the hit, and then they spot it at the end of the play instead of spotting it where he caught the football.
Right.
I mean, we couldn't understand that.
I'm standing right there with him, and I see him spot it. I'm like, wow, this is good. That's the correct spot. And then when it comes out that, you know, the chain doesn't, obviously. There's another one down where Woodyard makes a great play in open space. He tackles a guy on the 9. The next thing I know, the ball's on the 7. You know, and Woodyard even puts up his fourth down because he knows he's tackled the guy behind the chain. And those are the things that are very, very frustrating for coaches, because – you know, they go home, and there's nothing, you know, nothing's affected in their lives. They go back to work, and they have a full week of work. No one's talking about them, writing about them, commenting about them. It's frustrating that that goes on.
Here's what I wonder about the chains, and we saw the index card used in one game.
I just heard that today.
It's kind of an interesting look in the world of technology. That we're using an index card to figure out if it's a first down and spotting the ball. Wouldn't there be some sort of technology that could help us with spotting the football and with, you know...
You would think today that... You would think, but no, it is what it is.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your practice squad. You have an addition to this today, a defensive lineman named Johnny Maxey, 24 years old, a Columbia, South Carolina native who played at Mars Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Mars Hill is?
I do.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Just north of Asheville, North Carolina. I did not realize that. He was with the Steelers last year on their practice squad, called up for a couple of games, was with them in camp this year, has been trying to find a spot. Johnny Maxey is 6'4 and a half, weighs 283 pounds. Where do you think he can help you on the practice squad?
Well, with the injury to Klug, and we're hoping it's not too serious. Again, he was better today, and you know, he's just getting better day by day. He's a tough guy. You know, we just felt like we had to have some work there, some help with practice with Johnny, and he came in and worked out about a month ago and did a really good job with the workout. We talked about him, and just really wasn't room for him. But with the injury to Carl, we felt like we needed another body there to help us out in practice.
And you're refusing to declare Carl out for Sunday because he's Carl.
Pretty much, yeah.
He should be. Based on what you said at the press conference, he should be out, it's Carl Klug.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, when Todd, you know, says this is at least a week, and I'm like, not with Klug, it's not. That's just who he is. And he's looked at me this morning, I can't believe you declare, you know, it kind of ticks him off when I say declaring him out. I love him. I mean, that's what we all stand for.
Klug just continues, and it's hard to believe, it's year 7, but he continues to give great reps every time he's in. He's not really big enough to play every down, but he's effective.
Oh, man, he goes 100 miles an hour. And the thing is, he does that in practice. I mean, that's how he lives this NFL world, and that's why he's playing as long as he has, and he'll probably play until he wants to hang it up, and that'll be a long time from now.
877-848-2671 hashtag tight, or I should say at Titans Radio for a Twitter question. All right, I'm going to make a statement. You tell me if I'm wrong or not. Kevin Dodd played his best game as a Titan.
I agree with you. Yeah, I thought that was his best game. He really
4 tackles in limited snaps and really played well in the run game. Had what looked to be a couple very effective rushes.
I agree with all that. Yeah, I totally agree with you. We felt that way after the game, and then after watching film on him, some of the things he did was really good, really good.
And that makes you proud as a coach, and it makes you proud of your D-line coaches and everybody that's been working with Kevin Dodd and of Kevin Dodd. that this is a player who's had to battle injury. He's learning to play standing up as opposed to playing in the 4-3. And now in year two, it looks like the light's really coming on for him.
I think so. He's, you know, he's taking it personal that he's not getting the reps and the time. I know he wants to play more, and he's getting his opportunity with the injury to Morgan, and he's taking advantage of it. And that's what he needed to do. I mean, he needs to make a name for himself, and this is how you do it. You get into games, you put some stats up, and show what you're capable of doing.
Because at that spot, man, you can't replace size, and he has size.
He's a powerful man. He's big. Can set the edge, which is important. Trying to condense, you know, corner off offenses from trying to get outside of him. He's exactly what you're looking for out there, and he's you know, he's doing good.
Hopeful that Morgan can go against Los Angeles.
Yeah, we're hoping he's going to do individual tomorrow. Kind of see how he's doing and go from there. But I think he's a day to day this week for sure.
He's a guy who's really had a nice year and. While you have had some good performances from other folks, you miss him.
Certainly do. He's a really good player for us. He's had a very productive year. He's done a lot of things that aren't statistically written down. He's so effective in the run game, trying to help us stop the run. But he's had a lot of pressures as well.
We got one more segment with the coach. A chance for your calls at 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Head coach of your Tennessee Titans, Mike Mularkey, with one more segment of the program. But before that, it's time for our Pinnacle Moment of the Game. Sign up for Titans Checking with Pinnacle, and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
Mariota dropping, looking, firing in the back of the end zone. There's Matthews! Touchdown, Titans! Rishard Matthews gets off the deck, gets out of the tent, and gets into the end zone.
Rishard Matthews finishes the day 6 catches for 95 yards and that touchdown. That's our pinnacle moment of the game. Pretty drive for your football team. Started in the third quarter, finished in the fourth. Really well done in kind of every area. And Rishard Matthews took quite a pop. And when he was down, I think we all thought, oh, no, he's not going to come back. But not only does he come back, he comes back and catches a touchdown pass.
He got really, I mean, popped. A really good shot to the head. And, at least that's what it looked like, the way his whole body snapped. But he came back. He came out for a play, looked at me, goes, hey, I'll be right back. So I knew he was okay. He's about as tough as there is, and he's such a competitor for our football team. He made some great plays for us.
6 targets, 6 catches, 95 yards. They said the passer rating when throwing in his direction was a perfect 158.3. How is this guy always open?
Well, you know, he runs very good routes. He's very disciplined. He's where he's supposed to be. You know, and Marcus is pretty good about anticipating where he's going to be. They have a very good connection. They throw a lot together, and the thing that was really impressive about him was our both two-minute drills that we were in at the end of the half, the plays that he made on the sideline to get out of bounds both times, got us down to the 3, the couple plays before we scored with Delaney. He's really effective in those kinds of situations, the pressure situations. He always comes through with big plays.
Last two games, too, Decker making more plays down the field. He'd been averaging right around 10 yards a catch. Last two games, averaging 15 yards a catch. Is that something different that's happening, or is that just circumstance?
I think it's more circumstance more than anything. You know, again, based on how we're being defended and you know, the scheme and the coverage, it's all just circumstance.
Here's a Twitter question, and this is from, let's see if I can see the name, Jamal. As someone who understands responsibilities, decisions, and what's supposed to happen in the offense, what is Mariota struggling with, and what is he doing well?
I'll tell you, he has really improved in a lot of areas since, I mean, you know, I was coaching the tight ends when he first got here. In the last couple of years, there's been a lot more put on his plate because he's been able to grasp it and he's executed it. What's he struggling with? Nothing in particular that stands out that goes, he's got to do this better. You know, I He's working every day to get better. I mean, the one thing about the guy, he doesn't think he does anything well enough, and he works at everything. I don't know if I answered that question real good, but, you know, there's nothing that I can go, hey, you need to every day do this other than, you know, continue to just stay healthy.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. No, that's a big thing. Yeah, he's had some things happen this year that have, you know, restricted his ability to do some things in our offense, and it's caught us because of that.
All right, let me ask you about one of the hot topics around the league, and that's the Jesse James play from the Pittsburgh game. Catches the ball as he's going to the ground. Well, he's on the ground. He extends the football over the goal line, appears to be in control of the football. As he stretches it and breaks the plane clearly, he loses control of the football. It's ruled that it is not a completed catch because he did not go all the way to the ground in control of the ball. If you look at it, have you seen it?
I have not seen it, no.
Okay, I can't believe
it. I don't get out much, so.
I know. Well, that's okay. It's on the internet.
Well,
you have that in your office.
Okay, I'll look at it when I get down there.
But it's like, I thought I knew what a touchdown was. I thought at the moment you broke the plane, that's all that matters. He's in control of the ball and is clearly...
As soon as it crosses that line.
Right, but they're saying that the control of the catch must come before, almost like the Dez Bryant play in the game against the Green Bay Packers a couple years ago in the playoffs, is that it appears as though Bryant extends the ball at the end of the play. I know what the rule is. Okay, so we've just gotten you a quick look at
it.
There we go. The beauty of technology. I understand the rule, but
he has to complete the catch.
I get it, but that in high school that's a touchdown. In college that's a touchdown.
Look,
how's that not in the backyard? It's a touchdown if we're playing in the backyard. How is that not? And do we not have to address that part of it?
Well,
as a league,
yeah, probably, yeah, because it's happening a lot more. I mean, that's like Delaney's catch 2 weeks ago,
right?
When he landed on his back and looked like he had control, and
the guy kicked it out of his hand.
Guy kicked it out. You know, again, that's one of the rules. The committee sat there and spent a lot of time talking about that, especially after it was Terrell Owens, right? That this all started. No, it was Dez Bryant.
You know, it actually started
to Green Bay.
It actually started with Megatron with Calvin Johnson on a play. But I think the confusion of it is that we're more interested in the rule about the catch than somebody breaking the plane, which last time I checked was the object of the game.
Right. I think you're right. I'm not arguing with you.
Seems like you are.
No, I think you're right.
I just
watched the video. The ball went across.
Sure. And he extends it to get it across. He's right. In control of the football at that moment.
But he's not down yet. And he has to have control when he's down.
But my understanding of when the game was created in 1869 with Rutgers versus Princeton is when you get the ball across the goal line,
it's a touchdown.
The play's dead then. So you're down at that moment, theoretically.
Right. Well, I'll let you come in with the competition committee.
I would love to. I want to ask you about the other play, the Derek Carr fumble. And, of course, the Titans had the same thing happen on the play with Corey Davis where the fumble goes out of the end zone. Everywhere else on the field, the ball comes back to the spot of the fumble. The end zone is different. Do you think there's a chance we see a change in that long-term rule?
That's going to be discussed. I can pretty much tell you that'll be discussed this offseason.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how about the index card measuring for the first down?
I didn't see that either. I heard about it. I was kind of... nothing shocks me anymore.
Here's the thing is, I don't think he was wrong. I mean, he couldn't see whether it was there or not, so he used the index card, which was pretty heady. You know, a pretty pretty kind of smart thing to do. It's just not a great look for $1 billion.
NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, do we have to use the index card? We got guys making millions of dollars, you know?
You know, I can't comment on it.
I know. But I'm just asking, you know. It was an interesting Sunday all the way around in terms of rules interpretation.
Sure, it was. They've had a tough time this year, and they're just trying to do their job.
I know.
I mean, they're trying to do their job best they can.
And they get a lot of them. And like I said, the call from a technical standpoint in the Pittsburgh game is the right call.
Right.
The same way the tuck rule was applied properly by Walt Coleman in the famous Pittsburgh, John Gruden doesn't like to hear this still, the Oakland-New England game that started the New England run, the tuck rule call was correct.
Right.
You can debate whether or not it was a...
You can debate just about anything.
Well, yeah, we can. It's a talk show. That's kind of what we do. That's kind of how it goes overall. All right. So let's talk about... Let's get back to the Titans and talk about your practice week. As you're late in the year, does your practice week change from what you do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
We'll lighten the load. We have. We started last week, lighten the load a little bit with a couple of reps here or there. We add on to the walkthroughs. So we get the same amount of reps in, same plays, some just not at a full speed. We have one padded practice left that we can use in the next 2 weeks, and we're still talking about that. But, again, a lot of it has to do with your health of your team. We're pretty healthy, so we're still talking about it.
And you're trading out practice reps for as fresh a legs as possible. And
right.
That's the balance. That's the head coach's job, working with the training staff and working with your veteran players and with the assistant coaches. And that's got to be a hard balance to come to, especially when it hasn't gone quite as well the last couple of weeks as you would have liked.
It's still, you know, whether you've won the last two or lost the last two, it's still very, you know, it's a violent game. And these guys have been going for a long time now. You talk about the end of July, going pretty hard at it. You just got to be smart. I mean, I've been in the league a long time, coaching and playing, and this time of the year, you got to be smart with your guys to make sure you're putting them in a position to be successful on Sundays and be prepared without overworking them. You can wear them out. You can wear their legs. Their legs are already – everybody's got something
sure
aching on their body, everybody. I mean – and you just got to be smart with him.
Another injury note, Logan Ryan, he got a chance to do some things this week, possibly?
Possibly. Probably won't practice tomorrow. Looking at it right now. Hopefully, again, I'll look at it day-to-day with him.
All right. Another note in terms of stats, Wesley Woodyard, 12 more tackles, another sack, more tackles for lost yardage. He's now up to 17 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, and 161 total tackles.
And that is...
Wow.
You're talking about, is there a better linebacker in the league right now playing and making a production like that? I don't think so.
I mean, he has had just a phenomenal season.
He's been great. He's been great. And he's not slowing down.
And quietly again, too, Jarrell Casey, 6 tackles and 3 tackles for lost yardage. He's already topped his totals from a year ago.
Tough to block. We got 2 defensive tackles this week that are going to be showing off their talents with Donald on their end and Casey on ours.
Donald is amazing.
Yeah. Ain't tough to block. So is Casey.
He's not as big as Casey either.
No, he's not. He's not. But he's dominant at what he does. He's hard to block.
Yeah, and then between he and Quinn and then Brockers as well, who doesn't nearly enough attention, does
right.
he?
Right, no, not enough. The front seven's very good, very good. And again, they're playing in Wade Phillips' scheme, and it's a 3-4 scheme. Some of them had to adjust from the 4-3, and they've adjusted just fine.
Well, Coach, we always enjoy having you. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for being with us again this week.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Remind you that coming up, Dave McGinnis, former coach with the Rams, talking about the Rams, a special scouting report. That's next on Titans Radio. The Mike Mularkey Show continues on Titans Radio as we're joined by Titans Radio's game day analyst, Dave McGinnis. Had I told you 10 days ago the Titans would make a trip out west and give up 1 touchdown in 2 games, you'd have felt pretty good, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, 1 touchdown in 2 games, I mean, all the years I've coached in this league, I'd take that every time.
Yet, 10 field goals and not enough offense, and the Titans come back a surprising 0-2.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, you know, completely heartbroken over that because I watched this team prepare, I watched them work, and then to see the results of both of those ball games, and with what you are saying and the way it came out, I mean, I know that I'm not alone in this, but, you know, I was completely, completely just heartbroken by the outcome of both of those football games.
So you go into these last two, you need to win them to make the playoffs. It's a situation I'm sure you've been in at different points in your career that you have to somehow get the pilot light lit, get things started up again, get rolling. How hard is it to do this?
Well, it's not hard because everything depends on what goes on right now. And you know, you and I had talked last week about, you know, the pressure as you go down the stretch to winning ball games. Well, you know, I've learned long ago in this profession that preparation trumps pressure. And so all you can do is come back and get prepared. Now, the disappointment is there. The disappointment, you know, is with everybody. But the disappointment can't keep you from focusing on what's ahead, because this football team that they're getting ready to play is personnel-wise better than the last two football teams that, you know, that we have played. So preparation is everything, Mike. And you don't completely flush it. You never flush disappointments like this, but you've got to use it as motivation to get it done this week in practice.
Dave McGinnis, you spent the last 5 years with the Rams. You know the Rams. Are you surprised at what they have been able to do this year?
No, because I know this personnel very well, because Jeff Fisher and I built this thing. When we took that thing over, Mike, it had been 15-65 the previous 5 years, which was the worst 5-year stretch in the history of the National Football League. We basically started from zero, you know, with basically three football players there, and through the draft and through the free agency, I mean, we accumulated, and we really were pointing towards this year as the year that group matured. They were ready to go. Of course, the massive move last year, that franchise really had no chance, because moving it 3 times in 7 months, you know, there was too many distractions, too many things going on. Anyway, I'm not surprised, because I know the quality of players. I also know the mindset of them, and I also know their mindset is that they knew that they were close, close, close. They got tired of being close. Sean McVay came in there and closed the gap, because he brought a wonderful offensive scheme in there, and they got Jared Goff rolling, and then you and I are going to talk about him, but to me, Todd Gurley might be the MVP of this league right now.
Some would think the MVP of the Los Angeles Rams, though, might be Andrew Whitworth and what he's added to that offensive line and to the locker room.
Mike, Andrew Whitworth, last year with Greg Robinson, and I, you know me, I'm always very candid about what's going on and what's what. Last year we had Greg Robinson, who was a very high draft pick out of Auburn. He was the worst performing left tackle in the National Football League for 2 years. They went out and spent money and got the best statistically performing left tackle in the league. It completely transformed that offensive line. They brought in their center from Washington that McVay was very, you know, aware of McVay's system, was very aware of the way he identified things, of his protection, so he could help Goff out. But that offensive line was completely transformed, because Greg Robinson was not only poorly performing, he was also affecting the whole way the offensive line thought of themselves. That was a brilliant move, and it's made a world of difference.
You are impressed with young Sean McVay, the head coach. What do you like so much about him?
Well, you know, and I met with him, you know, twice, you know, out there, you know, when he took the job. And here's what I'm impressed with. Extremely bright, is smart, but he knows what he doesn't know. He was more than willing to hire Wade Phillips. You know, he's more than willing to get people that are football smarter than he is in the building. He draws from everybody. But the thing I like is he knows his offensive system backwards and forwards, and he understands it. And those guys that are calling their own offenses, you know, just like Kyle Shanahan was doing in San Francisco, they know that system so well that they can get it to their players. And the other thing that I like what McVay's done, he is running an up-tempo offense, but he's staying on that headset until that 15 seconds clicks off. He's in Jared Goff's ear right until they turn that quarterback communication system off. So he's basically the pilot guiding this whole thing. His system is very quarterback-friendly, but he's been able to impart that to his players. And then plus, he's got some good pieces in place. They've revamped that receiving core, and then Todd Gurley is having the monster year that we all envisioned him having when we drafted him, even though we drafted him after his ACL injury there at Georgia. This is a special, special player, and he's using him in some big-time ways.
Todd Gurley is amazing in terms of what he's putting up in total offense, over 1,800 yards. Not only great running the football, but averaging nearly 12 yards a catch, which is unheard of for a running back. Why is Todd Gurley so special?
Well, I mean, first of all, Todd Gurley is an extremely talented athlete. I mean, just, you know, for Titans fans for years that watched Eddie George, Todd Gurley is Eddie George, and that's why Jeff Fisher and I, when we looked at him, and Jeff could envision, you know, Eddie in this mode. But Todd Gurley is Eddie George in everything as far as being a workhorse, a beast, but faster. And to me, I mean, and his competitive drive and the way he approaches things. And plus, he had a down sophomore year in this league. He really did. And he was bent on coming back because, you know, he was offensive rookie of the year his first year, even after only playing, you know, when we brought him back rehabbing his ACL. He didn't play the whole season his rookie year. Still offensive rookie of the year. Had a down sophomore season, just like the whole team did. He is hell bent on proving that he was worth that pick. And Todd Gurley, I'm telling you now, he's a special, special player in a lot of ways. And he's also very, very physical. Don't think this is a finesse back. It's not.
Dave McGinnis, when you joined Titans Radio in August, you predicted that Jared Goff would have a much better second year because you said they're going to protect him better, and also because we protected him last year, and you weren't talking about necessarily just on the field, were you?
No, Jeff Fisher did the Rams organization a huge favor because he resisted the pressure to play a number one pick immediately when we, you know, and we had Case Keenum, and Case Keenum was playing fine for us, even with that subpar offensive group that he had around him. But Jeff Fisher knew that if he put Jared Goff with that group right out of the box, it would happen to Jared Goff in his initial season, just what happened to David Carr when Houston played him and he was sacked 77 times and basically ruined his career. So Jeff Fisher preserved this kid, and again, even though he didn't have any success when he came in and played, he didn't subject him to everything for the whole season. And it was that's a big jump start for Jared Goff. And again, I give Jeff a lot of credit because we were under the gun, but he put his own personal welfare aside and kept the welfare of the club and Jared Goff in mind when he didn't play him early behind a very, very subpar offensive unit.
Defensive coordinator Wade Phillips walked in and found a championship-ready defense in terms of personnel. The guy everybody starts with is Aaron Donald, who's 6'1", 100 or 280 pounds, not the biggest guy in the world, but so dominating. Is there another player really like him in the NFL?
No, I mean, let me tell you something. And we had number one picks across that line. You know, we had Robert Quinn, we had Chris Long, we had Michael Brockers, but we couldn't pass him up because when you start watching him, this is a special, special player, especially any time he gets on the edge of a block. He's superhuman strong. He's unbelievably quick, and he's one of the most violent players I've seen inside. And I've been around in all my years. I've been around some pretty violent, you know, defensive tackles, starting with Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael, and Eric Swan, and you can just go on and on and on. Albert Haynesworth here. This guy is violent. He's quick. He's superhuman strong, and plus he's a natural leverage machine. He's low. He's already got pad level. This guy is dominating. I've never seen him blocked one-on-one. He's always getting the down blocks, and this kid is very, very special, and I'm serious. You know, the year before last, I mean, we thought that he had the MVP of the year as a defense. He and J.J. Watt, you know, were all it is, and Aaron is even playing better now because the offense is better. Scores are separated. They're scoring, you know, they got biggest scoring margin of anybody in this league, so he can really do his thing now, and he's just one of many on that defensive front that are really talented players.
Yeah, Brockers is still there. Quinn has 8.5 sacks. Ogletree at linebacker. Mark Barron, who you converted to linebacker. And the front seven is loaded with athletes, former All-Americans, former first-round picks.
No, absolutely. And that's why, again, and Wade Phillips, Wade's been at it forever. He knew what he had. He did switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4, but he's got that slide 3-4 where he gets a lot of edges. And Wade has developed great defenses wherever he's been. He didn't need to develop this one. He just needed to fit them into his system or teach them a little bit, but he molded it. But he had some great, great players sitting there, and he's done a tremendous job with them. And again, as I said, and we haven't even talked about special teams yet, but their special teams unit is probably overall one of the most effective in the league and has been for the last 4 or 5 years.
Zerline, the kicker, Hecker, the punter, Fayro Cooper, the best combination returner in the league in terms of punts and kickoffs. their coverage units. They might be the best special teams in the NFL in 2017.
Well, I mean, you know, they had, you know, Rick Goslin, you know, at the Dallas Morning News does a system where he grades, and it's very intricate. All the special teams, you know, throughout, and he's done it for 30 years, and this group's been in the top group every year we've been there since John Fossil, when we hired John Fossil there, and plus his players and that battery he's got, and they are very, very special because they specifically, we started it, Jeff Fisher started it, you know, have three or four players on that team that are special teams gurus, and that's what they do, and it's impressive to watch them. I've watched a lot of their tape already this year. I'm very, very familiar with what they're doing. They are even playing at a higher level now because that defense and special teams, Mike, have been playoff ready for 2 years. All they needed was for the offense to get in sync. It did. Sean McVay brought it more in sync. He's made him special.
So your message for the Titans is don't spend any time feeling sorry for yourself as you get ready this week.
No, I mean, that's not even part of the mindset in the National Football League, because I promise you nobody else feels sorry for you. So that does no good. What you've got to do is buckle up and go play, you know, this football team and know the challenge ahead, but you've got to bring the challenge of your own. You've got to challenge them, make them also know that you've got good players, and this football team here, the Titans, we're playing for something. I mean, we're playing for something very, very important. So that's the mindset you've got to have, Mike.
Coach Mack, we'll see you Sunday at Nissan Stadium.
Looking forward to it, Mike. Thank you.
All right. The Mike Mularkey Show is produced by Brandon Haggerty. Titans radio producer is Brad Willis. Promotions director, Marie Misha. Traffic director, Kendra Holt. Director of sales, Hunter Rice. General manager, Allison Warren. And our operations manager is Charlie Cook. Titans radio's executive producer is Rhett Bryan. For Coach Mike Mularkey and Dave McGinnis, Mike Keith reminds you that we're on the air this Sunday with Titans Countdown at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern time, in preparation for the Titans and the Rams at Nissan Stadium. Thanks for listening tonight, and we'll see you Sunday for the Titans and the Rams.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.